are continuing in this Lenten season to look at the events of Passion Week and to take time during Lent to dig deeper into those critical events in that week we call Holy. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. Then they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, quote, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. This is the word of God for all of God's people. Thanks be to God. And Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables. The word of God. Have you seen this space, this place where we worship, set up for the semi-annual United Methodist Women Rummage Sale? Have you seen not just this space, but indeed most of our church building twice a year during those weeks of rummage sale? And Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. There are like 203 cashier positions during the rummage sale. That's a lot of money changers. And 800 and plus volunteers are in the building during rummage sale week. And every one of them at some point is carrying things one way or another through this house of worship. What if Jesus showed up at Birmingham First during the weeks of the United Methodist Rummage Sale, which, by the way, is coming up April 28th. Would Jesus disrupt the sale? Would he send the racks of clothes set up in this space tumbling down like dominoes? How is the United Methodist Women Rummage Sale not incompatible with not just the words of Scripture, but the very actions of Jesus? How is it that it's not incompatible? This week in Steeple Notes, our weekly newsletter, I ask these questions. Each week, the preachers for our various services have a chance to tease readers with a hint of what their sermons will be about. I had a few people who read what I wrote and came to me very concerned. There's a basic rule that successful pastors quickly learn: don't mess with the United Methodist Women. But my questions are more than rhetorical. There are faithful Christians who, based on their reading of Scripture and the traditions in which they've been raised, they're faithful Christians who are not comfortable with a church-wide rummage sale that involves most of our building being given over to commerce. And there are faithful Christians who are uneasy when they walk into our fellowship hall on a Sunday and see baked goods being sold, fair trade chocolate and coffee available for purchase, and good golly, even March Madness basketball tournaments for sale. And isn't gambling something to which we're opposed? So how is it that given the plain words of Scripture across all four Gospels that describe Jesus driving vendors out of the house of worship, that most of us, not all, But most of us find such practices acceptable. How do we get there? One response that I've had this week is that the rummage sale is okay because it is not in the sanctuary and it does not happen on Sunday. In other words, since the rummage sale uses just about all of the building except the sanctuary and it does not occur on Sunday, then it's okay. That makes it not incompatible with the scripture. Except for this. What we know about the actual setting for the scripture is that the temple complex was huge, about the size of 12 soccer fields. The vendors Jesus encountered likely were in the outer court, the court of the Gentiles, and not in the sanctuary itself. So the area that Jesus drove the vendors from was not the sanctuary. It was more like maybe this space or fellowship hall. And there's nothing that suggests that Jesus' reaction to the vendors was because they were selling on the Sabbath. Which brings us back to the question, why is the rummage sale not incompatible with Christian teaching? An answer comes from looking more closely, I think, at four things. How this scripture informs itself. Usually passages of scripture can internally tell you something about their intent. How the whole of scripture informs this passage. The context of the passage. And the context of our own church and the rummage sale. All of these are critical steps in interpreting any scripture. Let's begin by looking at how our scripture for today informs itself. Did you notice that in verse 17, Jesus is quoting something? Mark reports that Jesus was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" Jesus' words reference words of the prophet Jeremiah, words that are found in the 7th chapter, verse 11 of the prophet's book. When a quote from Hebrew scripture is placed on Jesus' lips, it's important to understand what it is that Jesus is quoting. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, the prophet is condemning the people of his own time. We're going to throw that up there. Jeremiah 7, 9 through 11 says this, "When you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, 'We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things,' has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord." There's context that the scripture itself gives us. This quote suggests that what Jesus is reacting to in the temple may be something more than the mere act of selling and buying. What seems to upset Jesus is the behavior that turns a place of worship into a den of robbers, which is sometimes translated a den of thieves. This is where robbers go after they've taken what does not belong to them to count up their loot. It's like the robber's clubhouse. It's their safe haven. What is it that fills Jesus with righteous anger? Let me quote Amy Jill Levine, the author of our Lenten study, Entering the Passion of Jesus. "Some people in Jeremiah's time and at the time of Jesus and today see worship as an opportunity to show off new clothes rather than to clothe the naked. This makes the church a den of robbers, a cave of sinners. It becomes a safe place for those who do not truly follow what Jesus asks. The church becomes a place of showboating, not of fishing for people." So Jesus quotes Jeremiah, and when we flip back to Jeremiah, what we see is that Jesus overturning the tables may have been symbolic overturning of tables about disrupting the systems of oppression and hypocrisy rather than a statement about selling and buying. So we can look internally at a text and references it may contain to get an understanding other than what a surface reading of a given scripture might offer. We can also look at how the whole of scripture informs our reading of a specific passage. In Luke's gospel, Mary and Joseph present Jesus in the temple 40 days after his birth. They were following the Torah. As a part of this, Mary and Joseph offered doves for sacrifice. In Jesus' day, when people came to the temple to offer sacrifices, they did not bring them from home, as doing so would risk injury to the animal and render it unfit for service. It was also a long journey, and there was a chance they would get hungry along the way. Vendors were needed on site so people could buy the animals, the doves, to offer for sacrifice. Mary and Joseph likely bought doves from vendors located on the temple grounds. This suggests to me that it is not routine buying and selling in the temple that is behind Jesus' righteous anger that we read about in our passage for today. And then there's this. When you read the Jesus story, when you read it as a whole, the core message is one of love and of service to others. When Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, he responds by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." For many, the core of the gospel is found in the conclusion to Matthew 25, in which the question is asked, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison?" And Jesus answers, "As you do it to one of the least of these, my sisters or brothers, you do it to me." It's a passage that suggests that mission and service are what those who follow Jesus do. It's what we do when we say we follow Jesus as we serve others. Given the scripture for today, how can it be that our semi-annual rummage sale is not incompatible with scripture? We bring to a reading of scripture the best knowledge we can gain about the historical context and how it is like our own and different from our own. We read scripture in context with itself. We look at the verses around it and the verses referenced in it. We read the scripture through the lens of the larger story and the meaning of Jesus' life as a whole. And we also read our own context. For what purpose is the rummage sale? This is audience participation time. For missions, who gets the $10 you pay when you buy a bracket in March Madness? Nothing but nets. Nothing but nets to prevent malaria, right? When I do all of this, dig deeply, seriously into the scripture, and read our own context here, I can arrive at a point of saying that indeed our rummage sale, fair trade coffee and chocolate sales, hunger ministry bake sales, and maybe even the sale of March Madness brackets here in church may not only not be inconsistent with scripture, but there may even be scriptural support for such activities. They may be wholly supported by scripture. And yet, what about the person who may even be here today who says, "Yeah, Pastor, I appreciate you've taken scripture seriously, but because of the tradition in which I've been raised, because of how clear the words in scripture seem to be, Jesus drove out those who sold and bought in the temple. I'm just not comfortable with the rummage sale or any of the rest of it." I say welcome. Our views on commerce and the church may differ, but it is not something that is at the core of our faith. There is no mention of it in the historic creeds of the church or in our baptismal vows. We may not agree on commerce in the church. I can respect that. I won't ask you to work the rummage sale or even look for you to be around those weeks. But we can worship together. We can serve together. We can love each other. We can care for each other. We can be church together. Okay, I see a few extra faces here from when I'm usually here. It's the UMW ladies. They're now breathing again. That's good. You can stop writing that letter to the bishop. Beyond looking at our scripture for today as an example of how we can claim scripture as authoritative, study it critically, and perhaps come to a meaning that may not be obvious, beyond suggesting how even when we do this we may arrive at different places and yet still can be church together, there's two additional points I want to offer this morning. Let me ask you a quick Bible trivia question. Bible trivia, and this again is audience participation. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. John 11:35. Jesus was fully human. Fully human. When he learned that his friend Lazarus was dead, Jesus grieved. Jesus wept. Yale's going to put up another image. Have you seen that picture before? The laughing Jesus. Many people think that that's a wonderful representation of Jesus. It conveys a humanness. That Jesus was fully human as well as fully God is a core affirmation of faith. It's one of the core outcomes of the Council of Nicaea. It's what we say when we repeat the Nicene Creed. This image captures this, the idea of Jesus being fully human, and yes, that would mean a Jesus who laughs as we laugh. But nowhere in Scripture does it say Jesus laughed. But are we okay with that picture? In today's Scripture, Jesus is filled with righteous anger. I think many of us are more comfortable with a Jesus who cries and laughs than we are with a Jesus who acts out of holy or righteous anger. Again, looking at a broader context helps. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus forbids anger against a person. I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. Jesus says no to anger against a person. This is not what we see, though, in our scripture for today. Jesus' anger is anger not against persons, but rather against systemic evils, hypocrisy, exploitation, harassment, abuse, neglect, or in the words of our baptismal vows, evil, injustice, and oppression, in whatever forms they present themselves. It's what that phrase, den of thieves, suggests to us. There are times when business as usual is unacceptable. If we do not feel some sort of holy anger when we see images of suffering children, if we do not feel some sort of righteous rage when preventable tragedies occur again and again and again, if we are not filled with outrage at the news of a horrific mass shooting motivated by white supremacist ideology and fueled by social media sites that spread hate, when confronted with such situations, if we do not feel holy anger that drives us to action, then we are not fully human ourselves and we're not following Jesus. Added point number one. If there are things in this world that fill you with righteous, holy anger, propelling you to act in ways that advance God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, then you are human. And yes, you're following Jesus. Just be sure your anger and action are directed toward evil, injustice, and oppression, and not aimed at people. Jesus cries. Jesus gets angry. And yes, it's not in Scripture, but we can surmise that Jesus laughs because Jesus was fully human as well as being fully divine. Here's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. This is added point number two. There is no place that we can go. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, there's no place that we can go that God does not go with us. Laughter, grief, righteous anger, God is with us in it all. And that, my friends, is good news for this morning. God with us, fully human, fully divine, laughing, crying, grieving, with us, and yes, with us, railing against evil, injustice, and oppression. God with us. God with us as we wrestle with Scripture and seek understanding. God with us as we seek to make room for each other, even and especially when we may not come to the same conclusion as we wrestle with Scripture. God with us. God, may we ever be open to you and to each other. Amen.